spend time with you, to die for your sins, to reconcile you to himself. You were running and running and running, still running. Aren't we? You find yourself daily running, huh? From daily running from God. Just remember that he came to be among you, be with you. God's desire. It's God's desire not to stop you, beat you, hurt you. It's God's desire to be with you. He thinks you're great. Amen. Hey, Judah, he's got his own pew. Amen. This guy's fun to preach to. It's awesome. Amen. Jesus, he wasn't much younger than you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today I just want to make an announcement ahead of time. We're going to make a little bit of a change to our after the service or after the have to punish myself because that's not true. For our after the message portion of the service, which is a time of worship and praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. We begin with the offering, then we continue in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord and worship. And we encourage those of you who love the Lord, who love to worship, love to give thanks, love to lift your voice and sing, to stay after and make plans to, if you can, make plans to regularly stay and worship with us. One thing we are going to do is also begin to limit the length of that worship and praise time so that we can end the service in a period of time where we can have fellowship with those who are perhaps new, perhaps those who are not as comfortable or as ready to sing and just worship in abundance for long periods of time. And so what we want to do is open that up. And so those of you who come here early and come to hear the message, and then those who stay for a little bit, stay for some period afterward, we encourage you to do that. We thank you for it. And it's because this is a public service, it's a ministry to remain, to encourage those who are perhaps new or who perhaps not used to the type of worship that we do. And of course, our service itself is a little different for just because of the order that we have to do it in, because of the message being first. So we're going to begin to do that, and it's tough on this worship team, I tell you, to stop. To slow down or to stop because they love so much to do that. But we're inviting you to stay. We'll be doing five or six instead of 11 or 12. So what we encourage you to do then is also spend some time fellowshipping with those whom you don't know. Many of you, I think, don't even know each other because we all tend to filter out. And so what we want to do is encourage that time of fellowship afterwards so you can get to know each other, share with each other, and testify to each other just individually and personally. And pray with each other. Amen. So that's the direction we're going to go, and so we invite you to participate in that. I'm going to reannounce this here toward the end of the message as we collect more people, but I just wanted to open it with that and just encourage you with that and encourage you to stay afterwards through the worship until the time of fellowship, knowing that that is coming earlier than usual. All right? Okay. Well, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4 or 3. We're not going to stay there very long. If you want to just open your New Testament to Matthew and Luke, you can do that too and just put your finger there because we're going to get there. I believe it's always good to rehearse while we're celebrating. Amen. I believe it's good to just rehearse, and a lot of times the preaching will enter in, but let's get into the Word for what the Word shares, amen, about the entrance of the Savior. Last week I shared in Fort Worth, two weeks ago, and then I came over here last week, and Jim was sharing basically the same thing out of Malachi, and how the priests had debauched, how the priests had been given the responsibility to give the Word of God, and yet they had debauched, and God, in the fullness of time, sent John. In the fullness of time, sent John. And it's interesting I'll just start out with this, is that in one place, the folks are coming to John And Pharisees are coming to John, Sadducees are coming to John saying, you know, who are you and what do you say of yourself? I'm one crying in the wilderness. Well, are you Elijah? What did he say? What did John say? Are you Elijah? No. Are you this prophet? Are you that prophet? Well, what do you say of yourself? So we can give an answer to them. We don't care if you give an answer to them or not. You know, just tell them you couldn't get a statement. No, but John gave them. So he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight. Make his path straight. Make straight the way of the Lord. And then, but Jesus then later said to John, after John had called, hey, are you the guy? Are you the one we've been waiting for? Or are we supposed to wait for another? And so you go and tell John, the dead are raised, the blind receive their sight. The gospel is preached to the poor. And then he said later, even though John had kind of sounded like he'd faltered, you know, but in his faith, but Jesus says, this is Elijah. There's no greater prophet that is born of women than John the Baptist. And he says, this is Elijah, which was to come. That's powerful, isn't it? Isn't it powerful that John says, no, I'm not Elijah. But Jesus said, yes, he is. He is Elijah who is to come. That's powerful. How many times do you not know what your mission is? You don't know what you're here for. You don't know everything. Hallelujah. But God knows. And you may be in trouble. Jesus was in a lot of trouble. Joseph and Mary, they were in a lot of trouble. There was a lot of trouble. But you've got a lot of trouble. Amen. You've got a lot of trouble. But God said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So when you don't know what God's called you to do, know that God has called you. You don't know what He said to you. Just worship and just give thanks. Just praise Him. Just magnify the Lord. He loves you. And He has not forsaken you. He's not left you alone. There are many times that it seems as if, you know, your ministry, your calling, the thing that you believed God said to you, where is it? What happened? You know, my goodness, it seems to be going every bit the other way. Huh? Anybody like that? I've been there, you know. Oh, yes, glory to God, we're moving on up. God's doing good things. Went from part-time in the mailroom and part-time in the church to full-time in the church. And then the oil bust hit back in 86. I went to zero time. I just kept coming to church. You know, I had a job to do. I didn't go anywhere and look for another job. Well, I got to go find another job in the ministry. Amen. Well, you know, if you're in the ministry, you better find a job in the ministry. You know, fully trained. Got a degree from Rhema Bible Training Center. Kenneth E. Hagin. I got credentials. I can go somewhere and do something. Some of you wouldn't agree, but anyway, I did it. And Jim and Robert and I had a meeting. Well, we had a meeting, and glory to God, money's gone. All the oil men lost everything. Everybody lost everything. So we're gonna have to do something. I said we'll draw straws. No, it's funny. That's not what they said. They just said, let's draw straws and see who's going to work. I said, Dave, well, the time has come for tent making. So I swore at them. No, I didn't. No, it's amazing. It's a miracle. So why don't you people go to work? No. The Lord sent me off. He provided for us. After about two or three jobs to start out with, you know. Kind of get started to get going. This is back in 86. Y'all remember 86? Anybody? Remember those years? Those good years. So I did that, and we said, it'd probably be about 6 months. Jim said something like that. Jim said, it'll probably be 6 months. Well, 12 years later, hallelujah. But the Lord, I never felt led to move to another place, to go off and do something else. For a good while, was just putting my hand to the plow with nothing to show for it. just working everywhere else and doing everything else, and just I never stopped doing anything I was doing at the church over in Fort Worth. That's back in that day. And of course, even actually during those years, actually it was 3 years later is when we started doing the Bible study in Dallas. So I basically doubled what I was doing. I'd drive over here to Dallas with a keyboard and everything else in the back of my car. I didn't play the keyboard, but I brought it. We had some gal over here at the Melrose Hotel who was playing the keyboard for us. Anybody remember the Melrose Hotel? Who's she? Terry Jonas. See? You were there, right? Weren't you there back there? The Melrose Hotel. We started out there. Then ended up, of course, the Biblical Arts Center. But I mean, God just said, stay where you are. And just increase what you're doing. And then later on, 12 years later, the Lord opened the door for to come back into the, and just to provide for our family and to set us in place, to do what we're doing today, Janet and I. And we're thankful for that. But I tell you what, don't give up the vision. Amen? God's called you to something. Don't give it up. Don't run away. Don't run off and go, If God calls you to go somewhere else in the meantime, fine. But you don't have to do something else. Just stay where God put you. Maybe you get mad. Stay where God put you. I thought we were talking about Jesus. Okay, let's look over Genesis chapter 3. So John didn't necessarily know, everything about his ministry. He knew he was the one crying in the wilderness. Didn't know he was Elijah. You don't know what God's going to do with you. Just rest. Just rejoice. Amen? Anybody? Hallelujah. All right. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise your head, her seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The seed of the woman, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 7. Right then, Jesus is coming. Everybody say, Jesus is coming. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold. Look for it. Look for it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Back in chapter 9. Same book. Isaiah chapter 9. We read this last week. For unto us a child is born. Verse 6. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from now even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. You can't stop him. This is going to be performed and you can't stop it. God's desire is to perform this. God's joy is to perform this. This is God's joy to send his son to pay for you and to bring you into His kingdom. This is His joy. Amen? This is His joy. And we forget that. We forget that just living daily. We just forget, you know, God, Jesus, praise the Lord, go to church, give the tithe. No, it's daily that He has loved me, and He has opened this door so that He could spend His life, that's eternity, with me. Why would anybody want to spend eternity with me? Janet's can see, at least see an end to it. Amen? My kids can at least see an end to it. They can go off and do their thing. But God wants to spend eternity with me. He wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to spend every hour, every moment with you. Well, I want to spend it with Him. Anybody like that? It's because you don't know Him. It's because you don't know Him. You know, we even forget that we like Him. Amen? He's a guy like, well, you know, I kind of had enough of God for now. Can I go do something else? No, God, He doesn't mind that. He loves you. He thinks you're the greatest. He's got your picture on His refrigerator. He's got a picture in your wallet. He's got a life size at the end of the hallway. He comes out of his bedroom and sees you every morning. Isn't that great? Well, there's two of you. He's got a picture of both of you right there, you know. It's great. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We want to rehearse this narrative today. Oh, where's the big preaching? No, this is it. This is the Word of God. This is the how the Savior entered this world. We will be having a Christmas Eve candlelight service on at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. Okay? 9 o'clock on Saturday evening, right here. All right? Pastor Jim will be preaching, so y'all can be here for that. And we will be meeting at 10:30 on Sunday morning next week. All right? All right. Luke chapter 1. And, oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong. Back that tape up. At our regular scheduled time, 9 o'clock. We will be meeting here next Sunday, Christmas Day, at 9 o'clock, just like normal. Jack, erase that other part of that tape. Thank you. Glad somebody went, what? 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, Christmas Day. Punch anybody who fell asleep right before I said that. All right. And in Fort Worth, it'll be Fort Worth will be regular 10:30 time. All right. Where's Luke? Are you in Luke chapter 1 yet? And in the sixth month, this is talking about what sixth month? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Of Elizabeth, we talked, again, Jim talked about it last week, about the conception of John the Baptist. That wasn't his last name. It's just what he did. So he talked about that. And so here he's talking about in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. He says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So while Elizabeth was about 6 months along. And the angel was sent to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Again, we've heard us teach before that the virgin, the Alma, is a woman who's espoused, a woman who's betrothed, a woman who's already married but not yet consummated. So not just, in some translations, it talks about a young woman. It's not just a young woman. It's a young woman who's already essentially married, already married by custom. And they have a waiting period of a year. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, you that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Can you imagine having a visitation like that? Who, me? And when she saw him, She was troubled at his saying. Yeah, see, she was troubled at, she wasn't troubled by him. She was troubled at his saying. You are highly favored among women. Huh? What? She was troubled at his saying. It's not like, you know, the guy showed up in bright light and it was like, oh my gosh. You know, she was troubled at what he said. So how many know when God shows up in your room, you kind of see your sins? You know that you're not quite, you know you're not quite what he's looking for, as far as you were concerned. Huh? Isn't that neat? You are exactly what God is looking for. You are exactly what God is looking for. Well, not me. No, he thinks you are great. Because not because you're great, but because he loves you. You become great because God loves you. Amen? The only reason anything, when God loves you, you become great. I mean, if God's for you, who can be against you? Amen. So he came in to Mary. She's just minding her own business, you know, sinning. Oh, she was holy, immaculate. No, she's just like y'all. The only point that she had going for her was she was of the house of David. I'm not going to go back and read the genealogy. Rest assured. Rest comfortably. We're not going to go back and read the genealogy. You can read that part yourself. But she came out of the house of David. Both she and Joseph were descended from the house of David. David the king. All right? And that's what part of the prophecy is of Jesus' lineage, is that he is descended from his father David. He will sit on the throne of his father David forever and forever. And he says, okay, here, and she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what kind of salutation this should be. It's like, she's over here thinking about it. She's talking to herself, basically. She cast in her mind. She was like, hold on a second. Okay, what's this? Joseph put this guy up to something. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Sound like something we just read. Then said Mary to the angel, she apparently found her tongue. Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I've not been with a man? And the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And therefore that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Well, I don't know if I believe all that stuff. You know, you ever watch these things on History Channel? They got all those guys, you know, talking about the scripture. Well, you know, what they really meant was something, something. Okay, read this again. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. This is for you. This is not just for Mary. This is for you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. First impossibility is for you to have fellowship with God. For you to have anything. For God to have anything to do with you. That's the impossible. The impossible is not a virgin having a baby. The impossible is you having fellowship with God. But see, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I just don't know if I'll ever get there. Ooh. You don't have to get anywhere. I said, you don't have to get anywhere. Amen? Say, you don't have to get anywhere. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Just rejoice. Just give him praise and thanksgiving right now. You don't have to do anything, produce anything, go anywhere, do anything. Just rejoice and give thanks to God that he's already set you free, that he's already come in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's died and he rose again, and he said, this is all for you. He said, come on in. You believe that? Come on in. That's all it is. Come on in. And see, it just doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It's not just heaven there, heaven later, it's heaven now. Because as you spend time in the presence of God, there's heaven now. As you spend time in the presence of God, there's heaven now because He loves you. And He hadn't come just for later, He's come for now. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Your situation is not impossible. Your children are not impossible. Your husband, your wife is not impossible. You are not impossible. I thought I was impossible. No, you're not impossible. So God, how many of you thought that about yourself? But with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's powerful. It's true. I mean, after all, virgin bore a son. Raised him from the dead. You're still the bigger trick, but God took you. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." That's what you need to do. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Amen? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Right? When the word of the Lord came and it was an impossible word, what do you say? Behold your servant. Behold your servant. I don't even know how this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to do what. But all I know is that, see, that's the trust in God, is that you're not going to know anything. You're not going to know what's going to happen. You're not going to know what's happened tonight. A lot of things people have happened tonight after a wonderful today destroys them, throws them, blows them away. Be ready for anything. Be ready for anything. Because you know that your Savior loves you, that your Father loves you. Amen? Anything. And I'll say that. See, and people don't want to say, whatever comes, I can handle it because I'm walking with the Lord, because He's with me. People don't want to say that. It's kind of like, don't say that. The devil will hear you. Fine, let him hear. What can he do? He can throw stuff on you. So God can't protect you? So what? I belong to Him. He belongs to me. Amen? This is who I am. This is what I am. I am no more than the handmaid of the Lord. Than the handmaid of the Lord. Come on, guys. You're the handmaid of the Lord. You're no more than that. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, that's all I needed to hear. He didn't stick around. That's all I needed to hear. She put her seal on it. And, she signed the document, and he's off. Courier is back off to, okay, she's in. Didn't have to go find plan B. Didn't have to go find another one. Behold, Lord, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. This is you. This is who you are. Mary fulfilled her part. She believed. Abraham fulfilled his part. Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Mary believed God. Hallelujah. Who else believed God? Who else in this room? Amen? You believe God? Amen. Yes. I'm believing God. Now, do I get nervous in my flesh? Sure, but I don't count my flesh. Even when my flesh is shaking like a leaf. Anybody get nervous in your flesh? You got to separate. See, separate your flesh from your spirit. It's to know that God is with you always. He is with you always. And that the enemy wants to come in and kind of cram all that together and say, well, no, that's you, that fear and all that stuff, that's you. Say, no, I'm delivered. I just still have a flesh that gets a little antsy when the fire gets hot. My flesh doesn't like that. But I know whom I've believed, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Amen? This is life. This is living. This is everyday living. Is going through hell and rejoicing. Amen? Going through your sins and rejoicing. Not getting down under the table. When you mess up, hallelujah, amen. Or when everything goes haywire, everything goes down. A lot of things go down. A lot of things go the way I didn't expect or I prefer it not. Amen. But you know, God still loves me. And I know that He's got a plan. I know I'm in the middle of it. And I receive it. And I'm glorious. I'm gloriously thankful for all that He's done. I thank God that Jesus was brought from Genesis to Isaiah to the New Testament. Amen? Jesus was brought all the way through to fruition and completion. How many know that's you? Amen? He's bringing you all the way through to completion, to finish. So don't sweat. I can't sweat. I can't help it. Well then, don't sweat that you sweat. A lot of people get sweaty when they sweat. Well, no, that's not what I meant. But a lot of people get upset when they're upset. Anybody like that? You get upset when you're upset because you're a Christian and you shouldn't be upset? Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, God just doesn't want me to be upset. He wants me to believe God and be happy and joyful, and I'm not. Be happy and joyful that you're not happy and joyful. Boy, I'd set you free right there, didn't I? Be happy and joyful that you're not happy and joyful. Just go home and repeat that. I'm happy and joyful even when I'm not. See, you can't get out of that, can you? See, because it's what God's put already on the inside of you. This is what Jesus is here for. You thought I was just going to read the story, didn't you? Me too. Verse 39, Luke chapter 1, and Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Read the first part of the chapter. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, this is John's mother, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Good, like when Jesus came in, John got excited. He's like, yoo-hoo! That is cool. When Jesus walked in the womb of in the womb of Mary, John in the womb of Elizabeth, yeah, he's happy. He's excited. See, babies know what. Okay, there's the abortion. There's the anti-abortion message right there. Got babies leaping in wombs. Amen. Well, that's at 6 months. Well, yeah, but how about the one who's just started right there? Jesus. John knew him when he walked in the door. John, the guy had a name. Jesus. John knew who he was. Oh, Mary, you having a fetus? They're having a baby there. No, no. He knew it was Jesus. Because God knows who you are from the beginning, amen? He knows exactly who you are. He knows when you got started. God's got a reason for that child. Now, did the child necessarily start the way God would have had him? No, a lot of time, no. That's okay. You shall survive. You shall survive. Amen. Let that baby come. God will see you through. With God, nothing shall be impossible. God will meet your need. God will meet you right where you are. He's not mad at you. He doesn't want you to run away. Amen? If you're in trouble, don't run away. Run to Jesus. Okay, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 42, and she spoke out with a loud voice, so she's filled with the Holy Ghost, and she began to prophesy. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And what is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your Savior... See, now start right there. The mother of my Lord should come to me. Well, how does she know that? Mary didn't tell anybody. Mary just showed up at the door. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. She got a word of knowledge right there, didn't she? Holy Ghost wasn't even yet fallen from heaven. But just as the prophets... Huh? Yes, she was. Yeah, the Holy Ghost, this wasn't even the book of Acts yet. But see, everybody who prophesied, the Holy Ghost came upon them, filled them. For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. Huh? Blessed is she that did what? Oh, yeah. Abraham. So we got a man believing and we got a woman believing. Praise the Lord. God's equal. God's into equality. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things. There shall be. This is Elizabeth talking. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she's prophesying to Mary as a confirmation of what the angel said. There shall be a performance. How about if God told you something? There shall be a performance of those things which were spoken. Amen? You hearing me? Did you hear something? Did the Lord give you something? He said, there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Where's she from? She from the same place you are. He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. She's from the same place you are, right here. He has considered, He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from hereafter all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. This is Mary prophesying. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Now this is the testimony against those who said Jesus not born of a virgin. Jesus not raised from the dead. Amen? This is from Mary's mouth from the very beginning. He said He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. That they know something. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He took the proud and He scattered them in the imagination of their hearts. The one thing that they counted on, their imagination, their thoughts, their ability to decide and to produce. He scattered the proud. He said that those who would come against the knowledge of the Lord and the fulfillment of His prophecy, those are the ones who will be made ashamed. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Jesus wasn't born of the good relations of the David family. He was born of the poor relations. You know, well, yeah, they'd be born of the Walton family, but not those people, not the ones who still live in the shack on the backside of Bentonville. You know, the well-to-do stockholding Waltons, the well-to-do stockholding David descendants, not the poor guys down in, you know, Nazareth, Mary and Joseph. No, God chose Mary and Joseph. He liked them. He likes you. He likes the poor ones. And I don't mean poor in money. He likes poor people, poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who don't have any hope. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. As He spoke to our fathers, Abraham and to his seed forever. Man, Mary had a mouthful. She spoke again. Even it didn't say that she was filled with the Holy Ghost, but she spoke by the Holy Ghost. She spoke by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost filled that room. And Mary abode with her about 3 months. Well, she was 6 months along. She abode with her about 3 months. So what do you think? When do you think Mary went home? After John was born. See, she was only, you know, just started, and she came to Elizabeth. She came because she heard Elizabeth was pregnant. She's, you know, in those days, you go down and you help your neighbors. You go down and you help your family. When the baby's coming, you go down and help them. Well, she came in the door, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what are you carrying? And so she stayed with her until John was born, and she went home. All right. Let's see. Is that where we're stopping? And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. All right. Now let's look over at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Well, if I'd go the other way, I'd have a lot more success. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, or betrothed to Joseph. Again, we talked about betrothal. Betrothal is that you are already married. You're already married, but you're waiting for the ceremony. You're waiting for the consummation. You're waiting for the coming together. To live together. And the bride is being inspected, examined, to make sure she's clean, make sure she's pure. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, or betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example. Well, that was a big deal back then. I mean, you know, hey, you would normally do the other. He was minded to would have put her away privately, secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take to you Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her, is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took to him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. So God set the whole thing up. Spoke to Mary, spoke to Joseph, by the Holy Spirit. See, how does God speak? Do you? By the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He has not left you helpless. Jesus said it. He said, He has not left you helpless. He said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send to you another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And He's going to guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. But what he hears, he will speak. He will show you, take of mine, and he'll show it to you. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. He's taking what that is from Jesus, and he shows it to you. He is your comforter. He is the Spirit of truth. He is guiding you. Have the Holy Ghost on the inside. He said, How much more will my Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask, if you know how to give what you think are good gifts to your children. A good gift is the Holy Ghost. What you need in this world, in this life, is the Holy Spirit. You need Him to come and fill you. You need Him to come and show Him. This is what He's doing in here. He's coming and speaking the word of the Father. And He's speaking it through Elizabeth. He's speaking it through Mary. He's speaking it to Joseph. And you need the Holy Spirit. And you say, Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I don't have to live anymore just out of my own wits and off of, one day I'm going to heaven. No, in fact, you're going to live every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean no trouble will come to you? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What that means is when trouble comes, you're not troubled by it. Doesn't mean you're not troubled at all, but what it does mean is that you have authority to more authority over you sometime than you do over the trouble. Amen? Well, here comes the trouble. Well, God's going to see you through the trouble, but most of the time you don't need as much authority over the trouble as you need over you. Amen? Because you're the trouble. Many times you're the trouble. Trouble cometh, but when trouble comes, it becomes more troublesome because you're troubled by it because God loves you and He's seeing you through that thing. And He's building your character. He's growing you up. Amen? He's getting all the sin out of your life and He wants you to rejoice and give thanks to Him because He's cleansing you and showing you His goodness and showing you His mercy. He's bringing things to pass in you that you never could happen, could know would happen. Amen? See, the thing is that I think I know how this world should work, you know. I think I know this world ought to work, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I mean, you know, don't skip a letter. You know, what if we skipped H? That would be harmful for a guy named Halverson. You know? Or maybe God wanted to put H after P for some reason. You see, we got it all figured out. We got the world all figured out. We lined it out, put it together, made airplanes and made automobiles. And we know how to get from here to there. You know? We know how to ride it, do a piano. C, D, E, F, G, A. Well, what if God messes up that? What if God messes up your plan? Oh my God, that'd be awful. No, it's no problem. Because God makes His own plan. Huh? What if a virgin would bear a son? It seems like that's out of kilter. That's out of whack. But with God, nothing should be impossible. Listen, you need to understand that your life is not about what you thought it was, how the earth should work and how men's plans should work. Amen? Huh? Hello? I'm telling you, God does His own plan. He's got it right here written down in this book, but He doesn't give you all the details because He's reserved those for Himself. Amen? So you can just rejoice daily knowing that He has never left you nor forsaken you. Oh boy, things are tight. Things are tight. Things are tough. He's never left you. He made sure His plan was sure. He's made sure His plan is sure. Where are we at? We got through with Matthew chapter 1. Now we're in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. So Joseph took Mary to his wife, and he wasn't with her until after after Jesus was born, after Jesus was born. Okay, chapter 2 of Luke. Let's look at that one. So we're kind of keeping in the context because Luke doesn't include the part about Joseph. You ever notice that? And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. So Mary and Joseph are married, and she's coming along. Of course, at that early time, she was only about 3 months along, and he went to be with his wife. So it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and that this taxing first was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So they were still espoused, still betrothed. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her, what's it say? Read that. Firstborn. Everybody say firstborn. There you go. Does that kind of indicate there were more? Huh? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Some folks say Mary didn't have any other children. They say Mary just had Jesus immaculately and that was it. Doesn't look like that here. Because two scriptures we just read, he said Mary and Joseph didn't come together until after she had borne Jesus. Then, which apparently says they did. And then afterwards, he says it's her firstborn son, which means she had more. Amen. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This is the great part. This is Christmas right here. A lot of Christians, we got Christians who don't believe in Christmas, right? What's the way with you? Christmas right here? Watch this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Here it comes. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here's the announcement. "And this shall be a sign unto you." Here's a sign, right now. "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And here's the big one. "And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Now, if that isn't a celebration, I don't know what is. If you've got a bunch of angels jumping up out in the, here comes an angel. "Okay, guys," big angel too. "Okay, guys, I got great tidings, good news. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And this will be a sign to you. This is the Savior, is the Son of David, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You're going to find this baby just like I'm telling you. You go to Bethlehem, you'll find the baby wrapped up in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger in a feeding trough. But wait. Come on, guys. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Little concert for the shepherds. So, Jesus, some folks are saying, you don't have to do a big thing. And the world has made commercialized the whole thing and made it about, holiday this and holiday that. We've been fighting back, everybody, sending all, y'all got the emails? Everybody got the emails? Boycotting Target. Merry Christmas and not merry holidays. Yeah. Christmas holiday tree. No Jesus in the school program, all that kind of thing. It's powerful that God did celebrate. God did celebrate. Amen. It's powerful. He made more noise when Jesus was born than he did when he was raised. The one angel. He's risen. Go away. He's risen. You got an angel sitting on a rock. What are you here for? He's risen. Go away. Here at least we had a bunch of angels singing. Yeah. So my point is simply that it's okay to celebrate the entrance of the Savior into the world. Amen. Said in the Old Testament, "You have prepared for me a body." Hey, Jesus stepped into his body. He stepped into his body right there that night. Amen. And he was preparing to save you. He's preparing to die for your sins. Amen. It's powerful. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept all these things and pondered. You know, ponder is a good word, isn't it? You know, what else might you use for the word ponder? Meditate. Very good. Meditate. She kept all these things and meditated on them in her heart. She meditated on all these things. All the things that God had said and all the things that God had accomplished, she meditated on them in her heart. How about you? All those things that God has said and all the things that God has done, you meditate on them in your heart. Keep them. Keep them. Keep thinking about them, talking about them, muttering them to yourself. Amen? Because, I mean, there was a lot going on between, you know, between the time the angel showed up. And then the, you know, number one, everybody wants to crucify her because she's pregnant. Well, that was a tough one. Right there, right? And all kinds of things were going on. Then you got somebody trying to kill you. Then you can't get in a place that's decent to have the baby. And then you got kings trying to kill you and trying to get you. You know, all this thing. I mean, it's tough. Life is tough. Amen? God knows life is tough. Hallelujah. This is, how many know this is not heaven? Amen. I was hoping this thing would be heaven. I was hoping it'd all get better. Well, it ain't. It's not going to get better. In fact, it's going to get worse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves you. Don't forget. When you're persecuted, blessed are you when you should be persecuted for my sake. They hated me. They're going to hate you. Amen. Why do you think it's strange that this fiery trial has come upon you? Oh, this is just, I don't even know what I did wrong. Well, probably everything. You know, you probably did everything wrong. But, you know, how could you keep from it? Amen. I mean, most things you do wrong. But see, you're meditating on the love of God, and God is speaking to you, and He's desiring you daily, you know, not to do some big hot thing, but just to walk in His presence. He just wants to speak to you. He just wants you to walk with Him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to show you Himself right here, right now. Mary kept all these and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and as it was told to them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of purification according to the laws of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him. Oh, more Holy Ghost. Plenty of Holy Ghost to go around, even before the book of Acts. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God. Lord, let now your servant depart in peace according to your word. Now I can go home. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to light. Listen to this. This is a Jewish prophet. A light to lighten the Gentiles. What about that? I thought this was a Jewish Messiah. a light to lighten the Gentiles. Again, he's repeating the scripture from Isaiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Some translations say, and the child's father and mother. I want to know how you get father out of the word Joseph. I just wonder. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. See, so Simeon was there to make a prophecy to Mary about the things that were to come. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. Which departed not the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That was old. To make it to 84 today is not bad. But back in those days, making it to 84, that's a big deal. She was a widow of great age, according to these folks. And she coming in that instant, the same moment that Simeon was there, she came in and gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Matthew chapter 2 is the wise men. You can read that one. I'm not going to make it that far. Yes? Mark 1. Yes. Amen. He does acknowledge Christ's divinity. The devil does acknowledge the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the end of his kingdom and of peace there shall be no end. This is Jesus Christ. God's desire is for you to know him the Father through his Son Jesus. To know him not until later, but now. And through all trouble, through all trial, he loves you. He will see you through. We thank God for this moment of celebration, because even in the commercialism of the day, there is a celebration going on. Amen? And the celebration is clear that it's Jesus. It's clear. I don't care how many times they try to wipe it out. It's clear. This is a testimony. This time is a testimony of God coming to the earth and blessing his people. Amen? God is good. God is good. Again, I'm going to want to share with you what we're going to be making some changes a little bit here toward the end of the service. Of course, you know, given the way we meet is the messages first. And so we sing a couple of